Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Lending Forward podcast. My name is Sarah Rogers. I'm your host today, and I'm very excited about today's guest. His name is Justin Kaplan, and he is the president of strategic growth with Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. I'm very excited to be chatting with you this afternoon.
Oh, good. Well, we're excited to have you. I'm excited for people to hear kind of where you came from, where you are now, and just all your tips and tricks and insights on this crazy world we call mortgage recruiting right now. Because it's a bit wild, right?
Yes, wilder every day.
Absolutely. Well, tell us who you are, Justin.
Okay. So some interesting personal things, first of all, but I'm a first generation American. I came to the United States as a teenager. And prior to getting a mortgage, I actually sold animal feed in a rural part of California, which a lot of people are surprised to hear.
Yeah.
Something I did for 8 years. And it was really my first introduction to the amazing people in this country and really opened my eyes to all the opportunity that exists. And did that. And it was a small business that we sold. And I was trying to figure out what to do with myself. And a friend of mine was a guy named Jim Porter. He was in Texas and he had done very well in the mortgage business. And he said, Justin, you should go in the mortgage business. And I was like, what is that? And he said, well, make people home runs. And it's been really good to me. And I had no knowledge of it. And I decided to go for it. And what I loved about it is coming out of the retail fleet business where I had a fleet of trucks and they were always breaking down and teenagers would race them between stoplights. I love the idea of providing a service that I didn't have to worry about inventory.
Very cool. I never knew that about you. I've known you for a few years now, and that's a very cool start.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, it's I don't talk about it a whole lot, but it helped ground me in business and with people. So I'm very appreciative of that experience.
For sure. That's awesome. And then tell us a little bit about what you're currently doing in the industry, your role with Atlantic Bay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I spent 2 decades at a large national mortgage company, did a lot of business, about $1 billion in loans during that time, and really enjoyed it and got to a place career-wise where I've wanted to have an opportunity to really, pay it forward, lending forward, pay it forward. I had learned a lot and I'd made a lot of mistakes, made a lot of good decisions and bad decisions like most of us do. And the owner of Atlantic Bay, Brian Holland, and I knew each other. And I would send loans to his team occasionally that I couldn't do or needed to get done in a very tight time frame that my bank couldn't do. And we got to know each other and we'd meet occasionally. And he offered me this incredible opportunity to join his company. It was 13 years ago.
Wow. So you've been in the mortgage industry for a while.
It was in 2013, 11 years ago.
Okay. That's still a good amount of years ago. You've earned your keep here. So being in the industry for so long, seeing the ebbs and flows, what keeps you passionate about it?
The industry is not static, right? Something that I think all of us who've been in the industry for any amount of time would have to agree with is, if you think you've figured it out, you're probably not in the right place, because the minute you do, you just have to constantly be fluid in your approach to things. And, it used to be a little easier to read the landscape and kind of see what the challenges were. Now it just seems that things are moving so quickly. You've just got to read a lot of information and look at a lot of industry commentaries and try and get ahead of it a little bit.
Yeah. So those changes, the stuff that keeps you guessing, keeps you passionate about it, because these are the same, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people, it's very difficult right now, as we all know. However, when you compare it to other industries and you look at the upside potential financially to what this industry can do and the flexibility it can give you in your lifestyle, there's very few other industries that can even come close to matching it. And I think that keeps me passionate. And of course, I'm fortunate enough to work with very passionate people. And you are one of them, Sarah. and I think that makes a big difference. If you're with positive, passionate people who overcoming the challenges with you, that is huge.
Yeah, having people on your side through it is, couldn't get there without it. So I know, like you said, we work together. I know a big part of your role is recruiting and finding top talent and growing the team and retaining the team. So this episode is going to be, you know, help for people in the same position as you, people growing a team and retaining. So I want to talk a little bit about recruiting. So we all know that when, you know, we're bringing someone onto a team, we want to make sure it's a good fit, right? Now I want to talk about a cultural fit versus a technical skill fit. How important is one versus the other?
Okay, so you're asking me the difference between a technical fit and a...
Yeah, well, not the difference not so much, but, you know, kind of how important is one versus the other when building your team?
Yeah, so here's what I would say. You know, it's not something that is talked about a lot because we tend to be very metrics focused in our industry, very sort of volume obsessed, which, you know, I understand that it is, volume is important. But what I would suggest, if you're building a team, you really have to look at your values and make sure that you bring people who are aligned with those values. And if you don't, you know, somebody could come do some decent production, but you may not have the longevity. I had a conversation with a very successful loan officer recently, did a lot of business, quite well known, and it became very apparent to he and I both during a 45-minute conversation that his values were really not aligned with our values as an organization. And we talked about it. And I said, you know, if you join the organization, we'll support your business, really do a lot of production, but there is an alignment. And, you know, I would just urge you to consider finding an organization that is better aligned with your focus and your goals, because if you don't, ultimately, there's no longevity. So the first piece of advice I would give is, you know, make sure folks are aligned with your vision or your team or your company and where you want to go. And share it with the people that you're speaking with, who are your current team members. Make sure their vision is aligned with yours, and then share that beyond, you know, the company you're with, and get people excited about where you want to go and how you want to lead the team.
Yeah, I think that's huge. So seeing as you could bring in someone who would do great things on a numbers side, but having that sense to say, you know what, let's have a conversation about how this might not be good for you or, you know, the team as a whole. I think it's huge and probably a little hard to do sometimes, especially if someone is bringing in that much volume. I'm sure it's definitely challenging. So what, besides that being like a challenging part of your job, what are some of the other top challenges that you're seeing out there? And have you found any way to kind of get around those at all?
Yeah. So the challenges are there's 50% fewer loan officers today than there were 2-3 years ago, right? And the ones who are still in the industry, are some of them are doing great and they've re-engineered their model and they're at it and satisfied with their production. And others are kind of saying, you know, how do I sustain my income and production at a certain level? And, you know, what I would say is the key, I believe, to strengthening realtor relationships, adding new realtors, is bringing value to those relationships. And, you know, value is kind of an open-ended term, but what is it that you're doing beyond getting the loan closed on time and communicating throughout the loan process? That isn't enough anymore. So are you helping that reel to grow? Are you bringing resources and tools that elevate their social media, that help them get clarity on their growth plan and how you can support that growth plan? And I think that this is really key going forward because, you know, remember the realtors have a lot of pressures on them too. You know, the amount of homes that are being sold is scaled way back. So in the same way in mortgage, we're doing less loans, the realtors are selling fewer homes. So I think a true partnership and whatever that means to the realtor is something you have to really pursue pretty aggressively.
Yeah, I think I see this term around going around a lot, be the advisor instead of calling yourself, you know, the mortgage banker, the loan officer, really dive into that advisor role and you know, be someone to help at every step of the way, not only for your consumer, but for your industry partners. And like you said, adding value to them through multiple different ways, education, social media, just, you know, doing a good job by them. Yeah, you know, that's super important. As far as...
Can I say one more?
Go ahead.
Well, there's one more thing that I think is really important. And that is that because it is so competitive out there, you know, whether you're trying to bring value to a realtor or you're trying to attract loan officers to your team, you know, run everything through the filter of what can I do to up level the skill set of my current team and people I want to attract. Because everybody right now, if we're honest, is able to close loans, provide good LO support, be very competitive on pricing. So the landscape today, you have a lot of very solid mortgage companies who are doing a good job. But beyond that, say, you know, am I up-leveling my LO's skill set? And how can I help them bring more value to their clients, their realtors? And then, you know, in tandem with that is, am I up-leveling my realtor skill set? Am I giving them educational opportunities that you mentioned, Sarah, to make them more effective with the challenges they face? And I think the value proposition has to be forefront in everything we do today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. To dive into a little more of the waters of recruiting and the landscape out there right now, do you see any trends going on in that space, and how can you kind of get in front of those?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, the big trend is LOs are flocking to the P&L and broker models because the promise is more revenue on a pro loan basis. And I would say that for some loan officers, that is a really good business decision. If you have a solid business, you've got solid referral partners, and you enjoy the autonomy of kind of running your own enterprise, perfect fit. But what I'm hearing from loan officers who joined those models a year or two ago is while it has some merits, at the end of the day, the promise of radically enhanced income is turning out not to be quite as realistic because a lot of the costs of running the business come out of the revenue that you're given. And so at the end of the day, it's not always the case that you're going to realize a significantly higher amount of income, but you do have to do a lot more work because you're not running the business. So I would say that for some folks, it's great, for others, it isn't. And then I think, you know, we're an independent mortgage banking company, and the independents, they do offer a significant amount of support, and you need to take a look at different companies and what they offer, what they do really well. And the other challenge is, there's a lot of vanilla out there, right? There's, you know, I speak to loan officers with different companies, and, you know, many of them use Total Expert or have in the past, and many of them use Simple Nexus, and many of them use similar LOS and POS systems. So I think I would say look for something that is unique and could help you be a better salesperson and help you bring more value. And we define value when we talk about the three C's. And the three C's are typically commission, right? So where you make more money, but it doesn't necessarily mean making more on a per loan basis, but having the ability to do more loans in total. And culture, of course, very overused term, but culture is important. And then finally, career opportunity is, if you position yourself with another company, will that company get you to a different place as opposed to where you are today? And we see, if I look at the last 20 loan officers who joined our company, usually it's a combination of all three of us. Maybe one is the grader already, but sometimes it's two, sometimes it's one, but usually it's those three things acting together that get people to move. And that's a great question to ask yourself. Am I able to provide more income to this LO? Is the culture solid to where they would enjoy being a part of it? And can they further their career by joining this, you know, my team?
Yeah, I think that's huge. And that was one of my questions that I wanted to make sure I asked you. And you touched on it anyway, why people are moving. So I think it's important to know that if you are a loan officer or if you are recruiting loan officers, you know, to know those reasons why. So we've talked about recruiting, but I think the other side of the coin that's, you know, not always talked about is retaining. So you get that, you know, you get that perfect recruit that a cultural fit, they start, you know, they're doing great, they're a couple years in. What do we need to be doing to retain those people so that those three C's don't pop back up in their head and they start, you know, looking around again?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm not sure, you know, I think at the core of it is build relationship with your team and let them know that you care and build trust. And trust takes, it has to be earned, right? And you've all heard that expression. And when those opportunities do come their way, they get their attention. If you have a solid relationship, they'll come to you and say, hey, I got this opportunity. And I want to make you aware of it, and I welcome your perspective on it. And you know, I think constantly helping people grow and develop, and partnering with them. You know, it's this business. You can end up in the ditch pretty easily, right? And just coming along and saying, "Hey, let me help you get out of the ditch today." It may only be one day a month, or you know, one day every week, or 1 hour, or for 5 minutes, but just being dialed in with your team and letting them know that you care and doing that in tangible ways. You know, there's so many incredible resources on really understanding how somebody feels special. And, you know, you can do strength finders, you can do discs, you can read multiple books on love languages and this kind of thing. And really knowing, you know, what it is that makes that person feel. Is it words of affirmation? Is it things you do for them? Is it giving them constant, you know, plaques because that affirms them? And just if you have that figured out and you tailor your communication around what you know is important to them, I think that will be super solid. And really listening, I think, is a challenge. You know, we all move at a really quick pace and we all have multiple things that we have to get to in a given day. So just really taking time out, you know, something I've been challenged with recently, you know, when I sit in a meeting, I always, you know, we all have our cell phones, right? So if you're in a room with six people, you know, and four of those people are going to have visible cell phones, but they'll, you know, somebody will turn it down. And I think it was, you know, one of these, I forget the guy's name, he's written a lot of books, but he said, you know, even having the cell phone visible when you're speaking to somebody is sending them a message that there is potentially something more important than your time with them. And so I've been challenging myself recently to make the cell phone not visible during the meeting, disappear. And you know, it's hard, Sarah. It is way harder than I thought. You know, this, oh, I'll just put it in my briefcase. I'm thinking, you know, then if I leave it on, like, vibrate, I hear it vibrating, I'm like, who needs to talk to me?
our whole lives are on them, right? But that's cute. I've never heard that before, but that makes sense. Just, you know, that little visual, whether that person realizes it or not in the moment either, kind of subconsciously that, you know, we might think that, oh, that's, you know, you might get something more important than me. So yeah, and I'm hearing a lot of intangible stuff as well. I think he just gave us all, like, not just tips on retaining a mortgage team, but like just a life coaching lesson that could be for relationships, for friendships, with the love languages and all that. So that's awesome. But it really does just boil down to being a good person, for lack of a better way to say it. And being there for your team, because like you said before, everyone can close on time these days. Everyone's using a lot of the same stuff. So what really comes down to everything, whether it's, you know, finding a home buyer, finding a realtor to work with, finding someone to come on your team, it's the people. So yeah, that's again why the cultural fits are
yeah.
You're talking about.
Yeah, in keeping with that, Sarah, you know, everybody has a story, right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know the story of the people you want to retain. And if they have, you know, if the trust is there and they're being challenged financially, they'll tell you. And maybe you can help.
Right. They'll at least come to you first. And if that relationship wasn't there, you wouldn't even have had that opportunity.
No, and then while one day they'll leave, mm-hmm. be like, you know, what happened? What did I do wrong? You know?
So, yeah. That's crucial. It's important. So let's look in the future. Ready? Get your time travel hat out. What do you think the mortgage recruiting landscape is going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? There's a lot of data now. There's just the game's always changing and people are always, you know, able to level up and find out more about you, whether you realize it or not. So with how, you know, insightful you can get into stuff now, what do you think it's going to look like in 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, boy, that's a great question. Well, you know, taking like a slightly bigger picture, is it kind of, you know, what's the future for the loan ops, right? You know, that's, and I think the consensus in the industry, there's always going to be room for relationship matters. And, you know, years ago, because I've been in the business a long time, a decade ago, they were saying, oh, you know, technology is going to replace the loan officer. Well, it never did, right? And I don't think it will in the next 10 years. So I would say that the industry, that the mortgage, the origination process itself with big data is probably going to get easier, right? It's probably, you know, you need to get a loan originated. You know, right now, the process on verifying assets electronically and employment and what have you, I think you're just going to see that be a more fluid, easier thing to deal with. Of course, you're going to see AI begin to impact things in ways we probably, I mean, I know I personally cannot even imagine how that's going to impact things. But I think it kind of goes back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, the rapid pace at which things are moving is going to really challenge people to have to bring value to good loan officers who are committed and passionate to the industry. And value is different things to different people. You know, there's obviously financial, you know, you have to make a living for yourself and your family, but also quality of life, being around great people, having resources and tools to serve your clients. You know, these are all things, and I've seen it happen the last 5 years. Just, you know, everybody's gotten onto the technology train, right? You've had to, right? So you have to be willing to move with the changes. I would say that it, you know, kind of directly answering your question, my guess is that loan officers would probably be able to scale their business a little more easily than they are today. And I think technology will do that, and AI will do that, and social media will do that. And you'll be able to pull in clients from both sides of the country if you present yourself well and have a good story to tell. How's that? That's the best I can do.
That was great. Your best is more than enough.
Let's have this conversation, you know, 5 or 10 years from now and see how we did.
We'll have you back on in five to 10 years and see how good your prediction was. All right. Well, let's bring it back to the present. We'll wrap it up here asking our famous last question, Justin. How do you plan on lending it forward?
I think that this, you know, is a very difficult time for a lot of people in our industry, whether you're a loan officer, whether you're managing a team, whether you're on the operations side. And the way I like to pay it forward is to see how I can help people on an individual basis, right? So, you know, if I can help with encouraging somebody because they need a little bit of, you know, affirmation and motivation, then that's one way. If I can help folks scale their business because by using some technology that I'm aware of, I want to do it that way. I think from a company perspective, one of the things I've learned because, you know, I've been doing it for a while is time just flies by, right? And one of the challenges of our industry is it can be all consumed. Mm-hmm. You take calls in the evenings because you have to, and on the weekends, oftentimes because that's when the realtors are busy with their clients. But really trying to find that balance between life, you know, work and home, particularly if you have small children. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been fortunate to have four children, and they're all older now, but you know, that time just went by so quickly, and just trying to be present and be available for them. I think that's a skill that, you know, the whole industry still needs to evolve, is finding that balance. And, you know, I remember when I went very early on in my career, I made a decision that I would always have dinner at home with mm-hmm. my family. And the conversation was a very simple conversation. I would get a call from a client, and they would say, and this was the, you know, to give you, this is more when there were a lot more face-to-face loan application.
Right.
They would say, well, you know, can we meet at 6 o'clock when I get off work? And I would always say, you know, that's a time that I set dinner aside to be with my family. I can meet with you, you know, any afternoon at 3 or 4, but I do keep that time aside. 99 times out of 100, their response would be, oh my gosh, that's so great. You know, we love to have dinner with the family as well. And that, if I recall, over a career of originating loans over 2 decades, I think I lost one customer because it wasn't convenient for them. So, and that holds true today. It's obviously not meeting face to face because technology does a lot of that heavy lifting, but just figuring out your own priorities and what's important to you and making sure you don't compromise on those important things.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And when teams have people like you and engage leadership and management to step in and help people, you know, so that they can stick to their values like that, that's like the perfect sauce, right?
Absolutely.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you, Justin, so much for joining us. And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Lending Forward. We will be back next Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll catch you then. See ya.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.